Setting the Price of Silver.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for David Brancaccio, with the global perspective on business and economics. Ever wonder how the price of silver is set? For more than 100 years, silver prices have been set globally in something called a silver fix. That's changing today. The BBC's Tony Bonsignore joins us now. Good morning, Tony.
Morning.
So tell us, how was the price of silver set before today?
Until yesterday, so that yesterday was the last time this happened. Very old system. Essentially, the chairman of three banks, so it was HSBC, Bank of Nova Scotia and Deutsche Bank. Every day they held a telephone conference call. They chatted to each other. It wasn't open for people to listen, wasn't transparent. Essentially, they decided with each other how much they wanted to buy and sell silver bars for, and that was the price. That was the benchmark price was then set, and that's the price at which silver was traded for the rest of the day. So I say one or two changes. I mean, they introduced proper phone calls, proper telephone conference calls in the 1990s, but otherwise very little had changed.
Wow. And what about now? How is the price of silver going to be set going forward?
They're not calling it a fix anymore. They're calling it the London silver price. And now it's going to be calculated electronically. So you're still going to have an auction system with lots and buyers and sellers coming together. But the initial price is going to be set by an electronic trading system using algorithms. And then from there, buyers and sellers will talk to each other about whether they want to buy and sell at that price. It will keep being changed electronically, the price, until buyers and sellers come into balance. A lot more participants, and not just those three banks anymore. You're going to have producers in there, investors, lots of other people. It's going to be much more transparent. And also, at the same time as well, we're going to find out how many bars have been sold every day. That's something we've never known in this particular market.
Why did they change the system?
Some experts think manipulation has been happening in these and other markets, and therefore they wanted to drag it into the 21st century, if you like. And also, let's remember, it's not just about silver here. We have had a run of financial scandals over the past few years, a lot of them involving benchmarks. The one we've heard a lot about, of course, is LIBOR. And that also was a very, very old-fashioned benchmark-fixing process. So the hope is that it will address all, it will make the market more efficient, but at the same time, it will head off any future scandals. And what the financial markets don't need is any more scandals.
The BBC's Tony Bonsignore. Thank you so much, Tony.
Thank you.
Samsung did a little home shopping. The South Korean electronics giant snapped up a startup called SmartThings for around $200 million. It's a U.S. company that specializes in smart home controllers. Now, Samsung isn't the only one seeing profit potential in the so-called Internet of Things. Hackers see it too, as Marketplace's Queen Akim reports.
At DEF CON, a hacker conference in Vegas last week, the big theme was the Internet of Things, or more to the point, how to hack all the things.
The device that we brought with us, it's called the Wink Hub. It's a home automation gateway.
Amir Edamadi is a security researcher at Acuvent Labs. He shows me how you can connect all kinds of smart devices to the hub and control them with your phone.
You know, you can have light bulbs, thermostats, motion sensors.
Pretty cool. Except Edamadi isn't showing me how it works. He's showing me how to hack into it. He places a smart lock on the table. It's the kind you might find on a front door. And he says if he can hop onto your Wi-Fi, he can break into the hub and...
I tell it true, it'll lock the door. When I tell it false, it'll unlock the door.
The hacker community is shining a spotlight on the Internet of Things because they say a lot of manufacturers aren't taking really basic steps to secure their smart devices. Mark Stanislav is with Duo Security. He says if hackers can break into one smart thing in your home, they can potentially go after every other smart device. And he says many companies are ignoring that risk.
The type of company we see very common in IoT right now, the Internet of Things, is a company that they want to crowdfund, you know, and maybe Kickstartering, so they really don't have any money for security testing.
Big manufacturers that can afford to take cybersecurity measures are often lax, too. Cameron Camp is a security researcher at ESET, and he says cybersecurity can add an extra layer of work that risks turning off consumers.
It's in the middle of the night. You get up to get a snack. Now you got to type in a password.
There's also the fact that in consumer electronics, it's all about getting your TV or refrigerator to the market first. And cybersecurity adds time. The hackers at DEF CON say manufacturers are going to have to take the time once consumers find out just how vulnerable they are. In San Francisco, I'm Queena Kim for Marketplace.
And finally, there's been a lot of discussion in the last year about unpaid internships. Today, we got news of a paid internship. One set of presumably proud parents paid $26,000 for their child to get a three-month internship at the Weinstein Company. The film studio is responsible for movies like The Artist, Transamerica, and Scary Movie 5, and it auctioned off the internship for charity. I wonder if they'll still make them get coffee. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.